Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
This Yom is a double parsha, but I'm not going to speak on both of them today, just because of time constraints. But I really like this parsha, this section of scripture, because it does something that I think a lot of people miss. So I'm going to kind of explain it today because it is so relevant to the ecclesia. It is so relevant to the body of Messiah building itself. In fact, it's the foundation on which they did build. And I'm going to go into that a little bit today. So it's not written on the board. But it comes from Exodus 35.
What's the parsha called?
This parsha is called Vayechel, and the second one is called Pekute, and this is the end of the book of Genesis, or getting towards the end of the book of Genesis. Exodus. The Lord says to us in Matthew 6:33, the most important words for us beginning our walk, our spiritual walk, our physical walk, our life's walk, and that's of course, seek you first the kingdom of God. In some translations, the kingdom of heaven. You've got to seek it first. You've got to visualize it. You've got to know it. It's got to be your sacred dream. It's got to be the place where you connect with what God is. What a utopian society and world is. What is your ultimate order of reality? How do you see it, and does it fit with God's plan? In your spirit, can you conjure that thought up, that spirit up, that dream up? Can you conjure it and connect to it? Because it's going to be the path that you walk upon. It's going to be the temple where you meet God face to face. It's going to be everything. It's going to be the place you store up your riches. And you hear a lot about that, store up your riches in heaven. And of course, it doesn't mean your physical riches. You're not going to take them. You're not going to take the TV or the CD player or the iPod or the car to heaven. I'm sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry to break that news. But yeah, you can't take those things there. But of course, those riches, those spiritual riches, those hopes, those prayers, those places of sacrifice in your heart, which are most essential, but this place of communing and being at one with God, with your God, with the Spirit, that's only part of it, but this is the central message of seek you first the kingdom of heaven, because otherwise, what kingdom do you belong to? What are you living for? Is it just this physical world? Of course not. It's a spiritual plane that surrounds it and that's going to call you into it at the very end, and which you work for and connect with every day of your life. So seek that first. Make sure you've got your vision. Don't lose your vision. And that's what it's all about, is having that vision and living for that vision. And I mean, this statement is true even outside of faith, because anyone who builds up a certain idea, maybe even a business, or has a plan for the planet, or even a plan for their home life, whatever it is, they've sought out the ideal and they're going to work towards it. And it's not always going to be what you think it's going to be, but people have a dream, people have a vision, and they work towards it. Or at least you should have a vision, you should have a dream. And in this particular dream, people became a temple where God himself would come and dwell, to be possessed by God, to be possessed by the Spirit, to all be joined by that one Spirit that we all belong to. Because we're all part of the shattered image of God that shattered in the Garden of Eden during the Big Bang explosion at the beginning of time. And we all want that oneness. We want that wholeness and that peace. There's nothing like it. People search for it in marriage. They might try to find it through their kids or through their work, and all those things are going to reflect it. But there's nothing that's going to reflect it more than the ultimate bigger picture, which is, of course, to become one with God, where we are all one again. All created things, all living things, all things with a breath, where we dwell at one together in that greatest source of energy, the only source of energy, which, of course, is Yahweh. And it's amazing that the early believers, the early disciples, did exactly this. It's not that they didn't go up to the temple in Jerusalem. They went up to the temple in Jerusalem all the time. They still practiced the religion of the Torah, of Yahweh. They still understood his throne on earth, but they also understood that the next step that God had planned, and he put that forward, here's the temple, here's the ritual worship, here's the stations of people, here are your priests, here are your 12 tribes, here are your nations attached to those tribes, constellating around the temple, just like the planets constellate around the sun, and our solar system constellates around the galaxy, and our galaxy constellates around the universe, and the universe constellates around God. The core, beginning. That's how it works. The first law, the first Torah, the written Torah, gave us a physical temple that we would constellate around, and it was a prelude, a precursor to a temple that we as human beings were to become. That's a fact. You have a written physical temple and community, but then you have a living temple, a living community, and through the Messiah, that is what we are to achieve. That's what we're called to do. But you know, even in the written Torah, where the original tabernacle or tent of meeting was created, it was the Spirit of God possessing and working through human beings that caused it to come about. And it's so encouraging, this parsha, because we hear so much about ancient Israel, how they fell in their walk with God, and they missed the mark on so many occasions, and we see the retribution of God, and we really see the failing of human beings to achieve that ideal. And we learn about it, and it's for all of our benefit, because we can take it on board, and we're meant to learn the lessons from it so that we don't make those mistakes. But if we do make mistakes, we understand it is the human trait, the human nature that is making those mistakes. So it's so important to reflect on this, because this was God's walk with human beings, taking each by the hand and saying, let's walk it together. And the human beings most of the time didn't get it right, but in this parsha they did, and I'm going to read some of it. It says in Exodus chapter 35, verse 10, and 35, verse 31, and 35, verse 35, and 36, verse 1 to 2, and 35, verse 21 to 22, we hear of God putting his spirit, wisdom, inside so many different people in the community to bring them together to create the physical temple. Exodus 35:10. Every wise-hearted person among you shall come and make everything that the Lord has commanded. Exodus 35:31. The Lord imbued him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with insight, and with knowledge, and with all the manner of craftsmanship. Exodus 35:35. He imbued them with the wisdom of the heart to do all sorts of work of craftsmanship and master worker and embroider with blue, purple, crimson, wool, linen, weavers, those who do every work and master weavers. Exodus 36, verse 1 to 2. Bezalel and Oholiab and every wise-hearted man into whom God had imbued wisdom and insight to know how to do so shall do all the work of the service of the holy place according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab and every wise-hearted man into whose heart the Lord had given wisdom, everyone whose heart lifted him up to approach the work to do it. Let me look at Exodus 35, 21 to 22. I'm jumping around a bit to give everyone the idea of what's going on here. Exodus 35, 21 to 22. Every man whose heart uplifted him came, and everyone whose spirit inspired him to generosity brought the offering of the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. The men came with the women. Every generous-hearted person brought bracelets and earrings and rings and buckles, all kinds of objects, and every man who waved a waving of gold to the Lord. Exodus chapter 39, verse 42 to 43. In accordance with all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel do all the work. Moses saw the entire work, and oi, they had done it all as the Lord had commanded. So had they done, and Moses blessed them. And I find all those statements extremely encouraging. Because, you know, we hear about the Old Testament law, and we hear about the covenant of the Old Testament, and we hear about the written and physical law, and we don't hear a lot about the Spirit. And that's sort of drowned out in general understanding of the Scripture. But right here, God talks to the people face to face, especially Moses and the priesthood, and his spirit is moving amongst a community, and his spirit enters into certain people and gives them wisdom and understanding to create objects found up there in a heavenly place. Technology like the Ark of the Covenant, different sacred vessels that humans had no understanding about, how to create, how they worked, what they did at certain times of the day, what they did when they were mixed with the blood and fat of an offering or certain incense, what happened when gateways to other dimensions, to the godly dimension, to open itself, and how to act before that dimension opened. This is powerful. This is about the most powerful knowledge you could ever experience in the entire universe. This is God's knowledge. And God himself placed it in the people and made them capable of doing it. They couldn't do it by themselves. What they did do by themselves, it says, whoever's heart was lifted up to do something. To go willingly with God. But to also sacrifice. Because the Spirit of God is not just going to come in and imbue a person with all those gifts if the person isn't willing and surrendering in that humility to be completely filled up. So you've got to empty everything that's in you to be filled up by God first. Paul the Apostle says this clearly when it says that he had the messenger of Satan in his flesh, and he prayed three times for God to take it away, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you, and when you are weak, I am strong. There's an indication again that the servant of God, that the community of the people, got to empty themselves to be filled up with the Spirit. And here we have it in the Torah, in the terrible law of Moses, this relationship happening. This relationship that is the core and foundation of our New Testament faith, of a Nazarene and Christian faith. To empty, to be filled up with the Spirit of God and build his temple, his community, his dwelling place on earth through him. Not through us. There's nothing that we can do. We hear over and over again, God gave them the wisdom. God imbued them with the spiritual understanding and craftsmanship, etc. And he saw people that had certain skills and imbued them too, so they could put those skills to work. This is amazing. This is amazing. In fact, look again, we see that in Paul. He was a Pharisee, a rabbi trained in areas of Jewish law, and God put that to work to create very much a theologian. The first of the New Testament, him and John, of course. But God will use what craftsmanship and what gifts you already have and have acquired and learned and pour his Spirit into them to make them even grander. And this is amazing to find this in the Torah, that what God did with the people in building his home was done through his Spirit, therefore grace. Where there is the Spirit of God, there is grace. There is something greater than what's written and codified or set in stone. And mind you, that has its place. It's not inseparable, but as we know that the Spirit supersedes all things, God can do whatever he wants. The clay is bound to the potter, but the potter's not bound by the clay. The potter's creating the clay. He doesn't have to obey and observe this stricture that he's turned the clay into. Okay, that's obvious. That's obvious. So we see here God superseding the human nature of people, which is, I think, the main issue, because that's really the wall that stands between us and God. That is human beings and God. That sinfulness and human nature to be resistant, to be aggressive, to want to do their own thing, or to be selfish or have other needs. God supersedes all of that and imbues all these people with his Spirit. And the people had a willing heart, it says in this, and they did it. And for once, almost in the entire Torah, not the entire Torah, but there's not many places you will find where human beings really actually get it right. And here they got it right. They willingly surrendered to God, and in return, he filled them up with his Spirit to create a copy on earth of what is in the heavens. And that is amazing. I read this parsha, and I look at the beginning of the ecclesia, or the house of, or the temple of God and his son Yeshua, the kingdom of God, and that's exactly what he did. He filled up the disciples. He filled up the apostles. He filled up the early community. He took those who had a certain craftsmanship, Peter, a fisherman of men. He was a fisherman. God filled him up the Spirit and said, I'll make you a fisherman of men. God used his craftsmanship, and this goes for everybody. But they did. They built up this living temple, and they took care of the poor, the fatherless, the widows, the orphans. They took the message of God and the kingdom of God from one end of the earth to the other. And it's still being spread to this day, thank God. You see, they had a foundation like this to build on. And we see this powerful, most amazing tabernacle, this heavenly dwelling place, where a dimension would open and God would come from a heavenly dimension into a physical dimension to talk to us face to face and fill us up with his Spirit. That's, the most powerful thing in the entire world, the most wondrous, amazing experience that human beings have ever had, translated into what it was to be 2,000 years ago through the Messiah. A living temple. And this is why Yeshua said, blessed is the one who believes in me, for they will do greater things than this. In talking about his miracles. Because they were astounding. He said, you believe in me, you will do greater things than this. So we see this great thing happening in the Torah this week. And we see God filling the people up with his Spirit, and they're creating this amazing palace on earth, a godly, heavenly, divine palace on earth. And 2,000 years ago, we're given, here's the real picture. You are to be the temple. And you are to create God's dwelling place upon the earth and be part of him. And you will do greater things, the Son of God said, than even I am doing. I'm encouraged by this because there is hope in the Spirit of God that believers today can still and will still continue that connection with God to be a living temple. But that's a huge responsibility. People have to want it. And the Torah tells us that this week, whoever's hearts were uplifted, people have to have their hearts uplifted. And if that's something to pray about it. That God uplift the heart. God fill you up with his presence. And don't stop praying about it. We have the ability to create an ultimate order of reality on this earth, the kingdom of God, because it works through us. God himself will create it. All we have to do is be willing with an uplifted heart to him. And that's amazing. What a gift. Ponder that. It's nothing else. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.